Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. JUDYGOLD.
You go, you get your master's. Now, are you in a relationship at all? I mean, a PhD. Are you in any sort of relationship with the before you go to Adelphi?
Yeah, I mean, there was a big gap of time between my master's at Columbia and the PhD. So I started in another master's program at Adelphi in the late 90s, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, at that time I was in a relationship with my now ex, who's right. My daughter's other mom.
Right.
And so we were together while I was at
Adelphi
for most of the time.
Right.
And that's when you and I ran into each other on the subway.
Right.
Was not long after, because we split up. I moved into Manhattan because I figured it would be easier to be a single parent there.
Right.
Because I hate suburbia.
Yes.
And you and I ran into each other on the subway. And we had both had very similar.
Yes. Yeah. It was sucky.
Yeah.
But it was so good to be able to like go, oh my God, me too. Your dissertation, which I read a little bit of.
Really?
You're
not kidding.
Characterological evaluation of the victims of stalking. And you write about how certain women are more vulnerable to be victims, like because of their attachment style, self-esteem, and so. What was it about stalking that interested you?
Well, I worked at on the admissions ward at Manhattan Psychiatric Center, which I don't recommend to anybody.
Oh my God, I just put an application in. Fuck.
All right. Well, you might want to call them and tell them not to process. Well, you know, you work on first of all, it's a state psych hospital, so you're getting the sickest.
So when you were being the reception, like you saw that you had to, they came in and they were. Brought in? Yeah, and they're at their sickest. Were they brought in by family members or sometimes just ambulance?
At a state hospital, it was usually, you know, ambulance. or please.
Rare.
I mean, that was one of the problems. Like, these people had been rejected by their families or didn't have any family, or, you know, the most vulnerable among us. And, you know, so that was tough. The least difficult thing about it, honestly, was working with the patients, which was really interesting. So, you know, most of my patients were schizophrenic, and well, I had, unfortunately, for the first 6 months I was there, I had to work with sex offenders, which I really don't recommend to anybody. I had nightmares every night
for the entire time
I worked with them and hated it. But other than them, you know, people with major depressive disorder, severe personality disorder. So it was interesting work. One of the things I also did psychological testing and neuropsych testing. So one of my patients was a stalker. And she was a rarity because she was a female stalker.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yep. She went, I don't remember how long ago it had been, but it had been a long time. She had gone for a checkup to a dentist she'd never met before, fell madly in love with him instantly, believed he had fallen madly in love with her. And it, I mean, the rest is history. And as many years as it was later, she still believed that the two of them were destined to be together. And it was just, and you know, the other thing too, is this was a woman who had been incredibly intelligent, and like her IQ had gone down like 40 points.
No way.
Yeah. Because of the drugs. And it was just, you know, it was anyway. So I was interested, and I actually presented the case to the rest of the staff there. And because she was my testing patient and one of my colleagues was her therapist. And it was just really interesting to me that something like some random encounter could end up having such a long-term effect on two people who'd never met before.
Right, right.
You know, so what is that like for the victim who has no control over any and has no nothing to do with it? Literally nothing. This guy had never met her before. And yet all of a sudden, like, she's stalking him and she's sending him love letters and she's showing
up. And he's
up
a fucking dentist who wants to be with a, my sister-in-law is a dentist and my niece just married a dentist. Okay. Sorry. But yeah. What is he like in the thing and like, and she's fucking in love with him while he's sucking the fuck. All right. That's the thing I hate the most about that thing that sucks and that gets your tongue fucking caught on it. I hate that.
I hate the pain more, but that's that also.
Okay, so
you need to get some Foley work.
Did you ever feel like scared when you were interviewing these patients or bring?
No, you can't. You just can't. I mean, the worst was, with the sex offenders, I just,
yeah.
Yeah.
So what happened? Really, am I allowed to ask what happened with the woman stalker?
Nothing. I mean, she stayed there. She was never going to get well. I don't believe she had family that could take care of her.
So like, what is that like a snapping in the, like, what is that you know,
nobody knows, but one of the reasons I was also interested in the victim side of it was because I had always been fascinated in a horrified way by the Hedda Nussbaum case.
I could not stop thinking about that. When that happened, Joel Steinberg, and you look at this guy, and I remember talking to other people about it, like, he looks like a normal Jewish guy, like just like any random Jewish guy, and she's like, her face is beat up, and then the fact that the daughter Lisa, you're a parent, I'm a parent, like if I saw a kid or if I was a teacher, wouldn't you say, is there something fucking going on? I don't know.
That's one of the things about it that I found most horrifying.
Yeah.
Because you see pictures of Lisa and she looks
disheveled.
Like, yeah. Disheveled, neglected, right. Tired, like bone tired, scared.
I know.
So that's another issue entirely. But yeah, Hedda Nussbaum, when she met what's his name? Like that person would never have allowed
right.
any of the stuff that eventually. So it's a systematic. Apparently, I'm interested in the systematic dismantling of people.
Yes.
And look, I don't get me wrong. I understand that under the right circumstances, anybody can, you know, do things in relationships they kind of can't imagine themselves doing.
Right.
And this was a very long project of his. It's not like he started abusing her on their first date. You
know? Right. Right. Right.
He gets sucked in enough, but that there is something that just made me wonder. It's like, okay, is it the process or is there some kind of personality characteristic that makes somebody a little bit more susceptible than other people? Kind of like, you know, people who are raped are statistically more likely to get raped again. Or I can't remember her first name, but the woman who wrote Battered Women's Syndrome. It seems like there are patterns that I was just interested in looking at. I mean, I got some interesting results, but unless you read that part, I can't tell you what they were because it was a really long time ago.
Yeah. I didn't read the whole thing.
Thank goodness that you didn't. I would be worried about you if you had.
Thank you. So you're in New York. You're a single mom. Mm-hmm. I know the feeling. You're raising this daughter. Do you have any relationship with your cousins?
Is after I'd been disinherited. My daughter was born. My grandfather died in 1999, which is when I found out.
Right.
My daughter was born like 5 weeks after September 11th in 2001. So no, I had no contact with anybody in my family at that point.
So you got disinherited because your grandfather was leaving everything to the five kids, but then it's now four kids, right? He originally was leaving to the five kids. And then now there's only four. It's like, well, shouldn't we get our father? And they're like, no. So here, why don't you take a $10 bill and, you know, take care.
Yeah. Yeah. And my Uncle Rob, no offense, put it a little bit more eloquently than that. He said, kids, your grandfather didn't give a shit about you. And as far as he was concerned, dead is dead. I found that much more poetic than the way
I love that.
Right? It's almost, I don't know. It's worthy of Shakespeare.
Yeah, I love it. Really? Very well spoken. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're disinherited, you're a single parent.
It was really fun time.
It was good times, good times.
Yeah. Yeah.
What were you doing for a job after the...
Yeah. Let's see. What did I do? I actually took a break because I was really burned out after... I taught for a few years. I taught grad school. So...
Where'd you teach?
At Adelphi.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. And also I was writing my dissertation. But, you know, I taught for a while and then... I wasn't doing clinical work because it's not simply because of the experience of Manhattan Psych. I think that it would have been fine, but personally, it was a really, really trying time. And I just needed a break.
Right.
And I just kind of never, because I would have had to go through another 2-year thing.
Oh, fuck that shit.
Yeah. And I just my daughter was growing up. And, you know, I still had the means at the time to be with her as much as I could. And that was incredibly important to me because
right.
we split custody right down the middle.
Same.
And, you know, when she was with me, I wanted to, you know, because it had been really hard when I was in Manhattan Psych because I left my house at 6 a.m. and I got home at 6:30 at night. And I literally only had time to spend with her on the weekends and it was really hard. So, and she was in school now. So I wanted to take her to school. I wanted to pick her up from
right.
school. I wanted to have dinner, all that stuff that normal people want to do with their kids. Other people do it. You know, they're in a relationship where they're supported financially and they can do that. So I'm going to do that for myself and for her. Then I just made a total break with all of it and went into internet marketing, which is weird, but
what?
I know. Well, because look, you can do it from home.
Right.
And
but it's now, who was it, you who wanted the baby or your ex?
Well, we both did. She gave birth. I was going to give birth to the next one.
But yeah.
That's well, I mean, I went through IVF and stuff and it didn't go well. So, although as it turns out, one is the perfect number for me. I love having, well,
and you got a daughter.
Yeah. I mean, she's like my favorite person ever.
And, oh, I love yeah. that.
Yeah. I'm really, really, really lucky. And I can't imagine not having a daughter. I can't imagine having more than one. So it worked out pretty well.
You're disinherited. You have your own life. Did anyone ever in your family diss you for being gay or say anything?
They didn't know. Actually, this is weird. When we were at my grandfather's, the wake was in the city. And in between the wakes sessions, we went back to my aunt's apartment for lunch. And out of nowhere, one of my cousins, my older cousin and his wife, start talking to me about some guy, like their designer or some, I don't know,
yeah,
who's gay. And he's such a good guy. Like, okay.
And?
Good for him.
Yeah.
But it seemed pretty clear to me that they were fishing. And
right. Yeah.
And if you were paying attention, whenever I had to bring a date to somebody, something, some family thing, it was always a guy who was a friend of mine.
Right.
Still in my 30s, give me a break. You know?
Right.
So, well, I was going to say, unless they're idiots, but most of them are. So, but clearly, I mean, you know, my cousin is not an idiot. He actually was also a clinical psychologist. So they were fishing for whatever reason. Maybe they were trying to make me feel, who knows?
Right.
But it was really weird because it was my grandfather's funeral, basically.
Right.
And then that's like the last I ever saw of them because I got disinherited a few weeks later. It wasn't an issue. And then when my Aunt Marianne and I started having contact again, she had no problem with it, whatever. She refers to herself as a gay icon.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's because, you know, when she was a prosecutor or, you know, an ADA, I don't know if she was a DA, but whatever, she was very progressive when it came to hiring out gay people. And ahead of her time in that way. So, you know, good for her.
Maybe she's part Leslie. You never know.
Maybe, I don't know, no indication, but maybe, but like she always said that her closest friends were all gay men or priests.
Were you really a life coach?
Oh yeah. That's what you wanted to know about.
Yes.
I skipped right over that.
I know. I just like that makes me. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know. It'll be like, I still want to work with people and help people. I just don't want the responsibility because, you know, I'd had suicidal patients and it's hard. And like, you can never, well, some people can. I had a really hard time just leaving it at the office.
Right.
I thought, okay, maybe this is a way to do that without the responsibility.
Gotcha.
Or the same degree of responsibility. So yeah, I got certified and it turned out to be totally ridiculous and not something worth doing.
But. I mean, did you like have like people who you were like, okay, go out there and get, you know, like, what were you helping them with?
No, I was, I worked with it did not go well. So my main focus though, if I had any clients would have been, my focus was on health and wellness.
Oh, okay.
And basically helping people stay on track, which is something I had always struggled with. And, you know, that kind of thing. So, it wasn't like rah-rah. It wasn't like Tony Robbins kind of crap.
Right.
But you know, it was an interesting short-lived experience. And at the end of which, internet marketing seemed like an infinitely superior idea. And I'm still really good friends with one of the guys I trained with. So that's cool.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV. And I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration, that it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
So now you're settled in, you have your daughter, you know, you don't have any contact with the family, pretty much. 2015.
Well, actually, in 2009, so this is 9 years after the lawsuit, or 8 years after the lawsuit ended, I get an email telling me that I'm going to get an invitation to my cousin Ivanka's wedding. I'm like, okay.
I'm doing this with pain in my...
Yeah, I wouldn't if I were you.
Okay, all right, I'm done. Sorry.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Okay.
Listen, I always say we get to decide who we want in our club. And as an honorary Jew,
yes,
I don't want them.
Yeah, like, I don't want her.
So I thought, all right, that's really weird.
And you hadn't talked to anyone at this point.
Not for 9 years, no. So I thought, okay, maybe this is
mea culpa
of some kind.
Yeah.
And there's no way I would have been invited to this thing without my Aunt Marianne's approval.
Right.
I don't know whose idea it was or anything else, but okay. You know, my brother and sister-in-law were going, got a friend of mine to go with me. Of course, a male friend to go with me. Although my invitation originally was not a plus one.
What?
I had to call and ask.
Oh my God.
If I could bring somebody.
That's fucking mental. Okay.
Yeah. So, so I went thinking, first of all, how hysterical will it be?
Right.
But maybe it's their way of starting bringing me back in because I didn't know what had happened.
Right.
You know, and I also knew that they, even though I didn't know what happened, I knew that they had treated us really horribly and maybe this was their way to start making it up. Silly me. As it turns out, it, there was no purpose to this.
Right.
Although I did start maintaining contact with my Marianne and I got really fond of her actually. Mm-hmm. And we did spend a fair amount of time together once in a while, you know, right. I'd go to the city, we'd have lunch or I'd go to her place and we'd hang out.
Right.
And, you know, in some ways she's funny, she's smart. We'd had really good conversations, but could never quite escape
the trappings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, you know, that, that as much as I think in some ways she wanted to be different from them,
right,
was just like them.
Yeah.
And that became clear.
When you were a teenager and, you know, Don Jr. was born, and did you look at him and are like, oh, what a fucking brat? Like, did you ever think this kid is going to be a bratty?
First of all, I mean, when I was in my 20s, they were in their, you know, really, they were 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
And like any 23 or whatever year old is going to think that they're obnoxious and annoying.
Right.
But they really were.
Right.
You know, we had this house, a room in my grandparents' house called the library, which had no
book. Yes, you mentioned that a lot. Yeah.
Because that's where it was a really small room. And right. The more of us and the larger, like the men got, the more crowded it got. Yeah. There was a living room you could land a plane in.
Right.
But we only ate cocktail shrimp in there before dinner. But then we repaired to the library. Yeah, it made no sense. So, but, you know, whereas my brother, my cousin and I, who were the first generation of graduates, we'd go into the backyard or
right.
We'd go into the basement. My two cousins, what are their names? Eric and Johnny,
yeah.
would like wrestle on the floor in the living room with all of the adults, like trying not to get trampled by them while Ivanka sat on Donald's lap. It's like, it was just, you know. And they were rude. They were really rude.
Like, yeah.
They were rude to people they thought didn't matter.
That hasn't changed.
Weird, right?
Yeah. So do you feel like Donald has a weird relationship with Ivanka?
Yeah. I mean, he always did.
Yeah. I look at pictures of them when he's like using, you know, taking her as his date. I'm like, there is something wrong here.
Yeah.
Really wrong. And no one's saying anything.
Yeah, I mean, look, I didn't witness anything other
right,
than
of course.
Every holiday, you know, she's like Velcroed to his lap.
Right.
And he's just like kissing her cheek and
right.
smooching her. And I don't know. I mean, like, I guess in retrospect, it was inappropriate.
Right.
But it wasn't something like you're calling the cops.
Right, right. You know?
Because for a lot of that, her mother was there too.
Right.
So,
exactly.
She's not having a problem with it.
Right.
I mean, I was like, you know, fairly young adult at the time. But yeah, it was always, you know, people commented on it and, you know, it's wrong. And I don't quite understand why something wasn't done.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Like, who knows what happened?
Right.
But it's still weird.
It is weird. Now, how Jewy was their wedding?
Well, it was kosher, of course.
Right.
The chuppah.
Thank you.
Was made out of white roses, and it was like the size of my house.
It's supposed to be cloth. Whatever. Go ahead.
Maybe it was just the
top. Sides.
The area where we were all sitting.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of friggin' white roses.
Right.
Probably cost more than my house.
Right.
Too. You know, there were so many people there and it was so hard to hear over the helicopter. Plane,
right. Right.
That I don't really know. And also we were seated like as far away as
right.
you
possible.
Get,
yeah.
Because we were the disinherited disgraces.
Right.
You know,
so you were at table D. Table
yes.
DD. Yeah.
Yes. You know, the food wasn't great. And also, like, I'm a vegetarian, so I ordered a vegetarian entree, which was not an option. And it never came. So I ended up just drinking. Right. I was just eating the olives in my martini.
Which is fine. That's so fucking funny. And Donnie's speech, what was Donald's speech? I don't even want to know. I hate him too much.
Yeah.
No, I can't. I can't go there.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So that's it. That's the only.
Other than Marianne, nothing until
okay.
the White House. Yeah.
Okay. So 2015, he's running for president, right?
Yeah.
I know. You're like us. Like, you think that there's no fucking way in the world.
Nope.
Like,
we learned our lesson.
I know. I mean,
yeah.
I can't fucking believe, like, honestly, I still cannot fucking believe it. Like, I cannot. Do you think, this is one of my theories, that reality TV, Jerry Springer, Morton Downey Jr., all those fucking shows where kids came home from school and saw people, you know, beating the shit out of each other, Geraldo, or, you know, who's your daddy? And I think
Maury Povich.
Maury Povich. That this created what we have in the White, like that, that the reason people would vote for someone like him. They totally dumbed us down.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they dumbed us down that way. Plus, social media has shortened attention spans in a dramatic way. It's corrupted language in a way it hasn't been before, or at least in an accelerated way. And, you know, we can't forget that this has also been a Republican project for a long time.
Right.
Keep people ignorant because they know an educated citizenry is their enemy.
Right.
So we don't teach civics in school anymore.
Right.
People don't understand how government works. People don't understand that as citizens, they don't just have rights, they have responsibilities. And, you know, in conjunction with all that.
That's such a good point.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The one thing that I think has been an effect of fuckface being president is that people know more about how the government works now because they're like, what the fuck? Can that, you know, like, I feel like people are so outraged that they, like, my kids are more politically savvy and politically aware because it's, I'm like, not normal. This is not normal. I mean, to go from Barack Obama to this fucking, it's incredible.
I'm not sure. I don't think I'm ever going to get over it.
Well, same. And the country too. So when he wins, first of all, where, like, were you like,
wait.
Okay. Sorry.
Wins.
Yeah. Wins. Quote unquote. I cried. You know what made me cry? Hillary the next day when she was giving that speech and she said, this is for all the little girls out there. You can do it. It just, you know what it felt like? I'm not kidding. I woke up the same way I felt when my father dropped dead. You know, I just, whatever. And my mother was, but I just, it was, I was in shock. And my mother was dead too, thank God, because, woo. Do you think I have to do something? I have to do something about, like, because you talk about, people are like, oh, why didn't you write the book when you can? And it's like, because no one would have fucking listened to it. Plus, no one thought he was going to fucking win.
Right. Yeah, and you can't, that's the reason, like, people actually think I wrote the book the week it came out. No.
Yeah.
Takes a little bit longer than that, as you know. Part of it, too, though, is before 2016 is, like many people in my family, I suffer from some version of learned helplessness.
Right.
What could I do? Like, what agency do I have? Yeah, and it wouldn't have mattered anyway. So, no, I was in shock. I was, I unraveled. I have PTSD, which has nothing to do with Donald. However, after the election, it was like, you know, because suddenly I'm hearing my name dozens of times a day in a very particular context, right? I'm seeing his face. It's inescapable. So I was feeling constantly triggered. And my favorite symptom is dissociation. So I'm dissociating all over the place. I'm on Twitter, like I'm compulsively on Twitter. I'm compulsively watching the news as if there's anything I can do about it.
Right.
I think the visit to the White House was like sort of the last straw. So like I ended up needing to go get trauma therapy because I was a friggin' mess. And it was, you know, it was affecting everything.
Of course.
So that's why I have a lot of empathy for people who, even without the personal connection, felt the same way.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, I feel like you're such an anchor for us. Like you're such a, the way you explain, it's just, it makes us like, cause you think sometimes you're like, am I crazy? Or, you know, and I, that's why your book is so fucking great. All right. Your daughter, does she obviously knows. How do you,
and she's never met them, by the way.
Yay. That's why she's so great.
The only reason.
I wonder, is she doing okay? Like, does she?
Oh, she's awesome. I mean, I have unfortunately turned her off politics probably forever.
Right.
Understandably, because it almost killed me.
Right.
But no, she's so grounded and level-headed and smart and funny and kind and all of that stuff. Yeah.
She was cute. I remember.
You know, she's got great friends. And because, you know, she's lived in the same town her whole life, her friends have known her forever, have known about her forever, like have known that she had two moms. And, you know, now she has a dad, too, and a little brother. You know,
yeah, what the fuck is that? Who I hate, you know, we call them has-beens. there's so many women who are like in these lesbian relationships, and then they're like, we used to call it Lee Garlington disease because there was this actress, Lee Garlington, who was like out les. And then she met this guy, Howard, and married him. And so we called it Lee Garlington disease. How is it for you? You're shy, being interviewed all the fucking time. Is it such, do you hate it?
No, honestly.
You're so good at it. You're so fucking good at it.
You know, it's funny because you never know how it's going to be.
Right. Of course.
And I'm shockingly comfortable with it.
You're so good because you take the question in. It's like so not impulsive. It's so like, oh, like I wanted to punch Meghan McCain in the face, but that's a whole other situation.
Yeah, I did too. But she actually helped me because I knew I couldn't. And I knew that if I did, it would help her.
Right.
So, and also like, I'm not going to let somebody like her wow me up. Like, why?
I know. You know, I love
what
that.
What a waste of energy. But it's been really, and I don't mean to complain because there are so many people worse off, but it's just in the context of like what I was expecting. It is pretty hard, you know, to have do all these media appearances and get to meet really cool people and talk to really smart, interesting people. And then close the computer and I'm sitting on my couch by myself.
It's, you know? I'm telling you. It's like people wonder why performers are drug addicts and alcoholics. It's like, we love you, adoration.
Yep. Done.
Over.
Hey everyone, I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by four PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit. I said shit on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent. Did you like that? Senescent cells. Those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin. And I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. And it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
So for me, anyone else would be fired from their job for doing one of the things that motherfucker has done, right? Anything.
Or not be able to get a security clearance.
Right. What's the best argument to say, like, to someone who's a supporter of him? What do you think is the best way to just shut them down? Like, and just, because this idea that character doesn't matter, you're representing the country. Yes, it does, you know?
Well, I mean, we can't make that argument with them because they like him, you know?
Right.
They think he's great because there's, I don't know why, but.
I love the ones that were like, he tells the truth. He tells the, I'm like, he's a fucking compulsive liar.
But not only that, but what they mean is he speaks his mind. Right.
Okay,
fine. But why is that a positive attribute when you're saying, I'm racist.
Right.
And rape women.
Right.
Since when is that a good quality
right.
to have, you know? And it's sort of like the fact that he says it openly makes it okay with these
right.
people. All right. You know, I'm so not interested in them because I don't believe there's actually anything I could say
right.
to them. But if there were, I don't think I could be the messenger at this point.
Right.
I would suggest that somebody say that, because this is actually true. If you really cared about him, if you really had his best interests at heart, the last place in the world you would want him to be is the Oval Office because it's
right.
so bad for him. The stress, the pressure, the scrutiny, the fact that it's, well, you couldn't say this to them either, but it's so beyond his capabilities because
right.
he has none. You know, if his children cared about him, they would not want him anywhere near this situation.
Right.
But, you know, nobody's going to say that, first of all, and people close to him don't care about him.
Right.
They're getting whatever they can get as long as they can.
Do you think he has any feelings?
Yeah. I think he feels a lot of anger.
Right.
He can feel humiliation, which is why he avoids it so dramatically, because it's...
Well, he avoids it, but that's what he does to other people. Like he...
Right, and he can also... Right, and he also gets a kick out of that. And I mean, I don't mean to suggest he feels happiness or joy, because he doesn't, but he feels the kind of pleasure one gets in humiliating others, hurting others, getting away with things. But, you know, thanks in large part to my grandfather, Donald has a very narrow range of human emotions,
right.
which is one of the reasons we're in this situation.
Right.
Because it's very dangerous
right.
For anybody like that to have any power over anybody else, let alone hundreds of millions of people.
He's so, not a he's so unhappy. He's not funny.
No. And that's a thing. I mean, not that it doesn't really matter. I guess. But for those of us struggling, because it does feel like he's always getting away with everything. And it does,
yeah.
like, I'm always, it makes me so angry. Like when he gets a win.
Yes.
You know,
same.
Like, yeah.
Oh my God. Yes.
Just because it gives him a moment of whatever
yeah.
pleasure is for him. But just remember though, he's a miserable, weak, terrified person. So it's not like he's really benefiting from it.
Right, right, right.
You know? And the other thing to remember is we could be him. Could you imagine?
No, I'd fucking, no. I always said if I was a drag queen, my name would be Anhedonia. Do you think he has Anhedonia? That is, but for all my listeners who are not as smart as I am, that's like someone who gets no pleasure out of it, but I guess he does get pleasure out of something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's not schizoid. He's
right.
not, completely numb to things. Yeah, I mean, we might be better off if he were.
Yeah. Do you think because of the way you grow up, Do you think you're a better parent because of all of that? Because it sounds like you are. Just having all those experiences, do you think your child has the right values? Because, I mean, you were really, I mean, you're with people who have the worst values that, you know?
You know, if you want to be a good person.
Yeah.
Which apparently a lot of us don't want to be.
Yeah.
It helps to have a little tragedy in your life early
on. Of course, right.
And it helps to have struggles. And
it humanizes you, yeah.
Right. And it makes you appreciate good things when you have them.
Right.
And like that's one of the problems with Donald. Yes, he had a very traumatic childhood and he did suffer enormously, but it was very young when that happened.
So right.
He doesn't remember it, but unconsciously it scarred him. But right. When he got older, like everything was handed to him. He never had to prove himself. He never had to.
I mean, some of the stories in the book are just like,
yeah,
you know, so, that they're your grandfather paying the, you know, Abe Beam and all these people off. And then it's the whole fuck it. Yeah.
Right. And like, so, you know, he was always told he was great. So he never had to bother right. being good, you know? So for my daughter, I think, you know, she had a, We live in this very white straight town, and then, you know, we split up and she's got these two very different sides of her family, and you know, she had to negotiate all of that, and
she's probably such a great person.
She is like the best person I've ever known, and she has like the best laugh ever.
She needs to come to one of my shows now. Where do you think you get your courage from?
God, that makes me uncomfortable because I don't see it like that at all. I don't feel like this is courageous. You know, I think bravery,
Well, because there's so many people. I mean, you look at all the people in the Senate, all these people who are just afraid of him. So they just, you know, and you're
I think they're afraid of the base and getting primaried by somebody even more psychotic than they are.
Right.
But, you know, I think bravery, I think raising a black child in America, bravery, I think people fleeing violence in Honduras and traveling over thousands of miles of hostile territory to try to find a better life for your child only to be separated from them and tortured. You know, this to me just felt like a responsibility.
Right. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been the easiest life a lot of times, but I've also been enormously privileged. And
you're very humble. But it's like Ivanka. I mean, you remind me of Ivanka and
Donald. We have a lot in common, but that's probably the thing we most have in common.
Yeah, especially the wardrobe, you know?
Yeah, well, she borrows stuff from me. I mean, when we still spoke.
Yeah.
Which was often.
Are you ever scared?
Just
like that they're gonna come after you, like
you know, not consciously.
Right.
I had a really wild dream when I was writing the book. I was at a rally. It was one of his rallies, and I wasn't in the audience. I was on the stage, but not speaking or anything.
Right.
It was very vivid, and it was a very short dream. But you know, tens of thousands of people in the stands, and I'm at this rally and, you know, writing a book that's probably not going to go over very well. Suddenly, like I'm feeling the energy of it. And then I wake up, sit bolt upright and say out loud, totally by myself, I'm going to be assassinated.
No, really?
Pray to God. Yeah. So clearly it's in my mind.
Right. It's somewhere back there. Yeah.
But I'm actually, I'm much more afraid of tornadoes.
Right.
Which I'm thankful I don't live anywhere that has them. So look, Maxine Waters gets death threats. Adam Schiff gets death threats. Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, for God's sakes.
I know.
You know, so if that's the price I have to pay for doing my, you know, my bit, then fine. I mean, I don't want to die, obviously, but you know, whatever, I'll take care of whatever I need to take care of. But I'm infinitely more afraid of November.
Yes, same. What do you think of Michael Cohen? I know, right?
Unring the bell?
Oh, yeah, I know. True, sorry.
You know, once a grifter, always a grifter. If he had been given a place in the administration or whatever. This, we wouldn't even been talking about him. He would have kept doing what he was doing and protecting that person. And, you know, I don't honestly see what he's offered. Where are all those tapes that he talked about?
I don't know. It's like he's, I believe what he's saying now.
But there's no proof.
Right. Do you think that this is a really scary thought, that the children, your cousins, they're grooming them to continue on in the, and first of all, you know, they were all Democrats, but they're grooming them for future in politics, don't you think?
I so resent having to talk about these people.
All right, fine.
No, because it's a perfectly legitimate question that should be answered. I'm saying that you and I and everybody listening to this should be resentful that we even have to talk about
it. I know. People. And I feel like
so
that's
Jared and
right. I hate
Stephen Miller, the Nazi.
He's a fuck. He is Satan, that motherfucker.
And apparently so is the woman who married him. But
oh yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Spawn of Satan, even his family hates him. But like,
but yes, I do think that is in some circles. And that, look, I mean, if Donnie can run from prison, more power to him.
He's got to get arrested.
I think, yeah, that is the hope. I think honestly that, it's more likely to be him. Like unless a woman is the Democrats candidate, because they're, you know, they're so simple-minded in that way, which right. is why we got Sarah Palin. But I think Ivanka, she's just as bad, but I think she's too polished and moderate seeming for the base, where, you know, Donnie's virulent and hateful and grotesque and murders animals. And that's bonus.
Yeah, I love those photos. Ivanka at that fucking Republican National Convention, and I looked in my father's eyes and I knew what he, and I'm like, shut the, don't you, it's like a fucking parody. It's like a fucking parody.
Yeah, but it sucks a lot of people in, which I know. Is the thing that I most struggle with. Like, it's really difficult when you see something so clearly, as you do, as so many people on the left do, as even a lot of, you know, like the Lincoln Project people do, right?
I know. Who knew I would be
fucking obvious?
Yeah.
How is it possible? And it's not just like, how is it possible that people don't see it? How is it possible that people believe exactly the opposite?
Right. Of stuff they see.
Yes. So
do you think he has to, he's got to have stuff on like Lindsey Graham and all these.
But you know, I've thought of that too. And it's like, it can't be all of them. They have something on. So
well, we know
I think
what they
some
have
of them are
Lindsey.
True believers.
Yeah.
Like the Kevin McCarthy's and the Devin Nunes's and the Jim fucking rape apologist Jordan.
Yeah.
Then there are the people who understand what my grandfather understood, and is that Donald is somebody who's very useful, the stronger, more powerful men, because he's so easily manipulated.
Right. Which
and
is
then,
why Putin loves him. You know?
McConnell, Barr, exactly.
Yeah.
And then there are the people who, yeah, there may be something on them. And I think, okay, obviously it's bad enough to make them risk their entire country. But then I think, seriously, like how bad could it be? Right.
Right.
Not all of them are pedophiles, for example.
Right.
It could just be indiscretions and embarrassments. Or
right.
What
right.
So it's like, if one of these people got the courage to stand up to this, that person would be a fucking hero.
I know.
Nobody would care what the blackmail thing is.
Right.
But I guess they're all just, you know, total cowards who think that they have a better chance writing this out and hoping that, you know, he steals another 4 years.
Oh God, no, please. No.
I know. I don't want to leave on that note because.
I know. All right.
Look,
well,
we're going to do everything we can to make sure that doesn't happen.
Okay. Before we leave, and I'm sorry for taking up so much of your time. I love you so much.
I had a blast. Are you kidding? I wish they were all like this.
you're fascinating. Okay, so this is the two questions we ask all guests. Number one, we, like I have multiple person, me and, hey, how are you? One, what do you do for your mental health? We're a very pro mental health podcast. So like, yeah. I'm on antidepressants. I meditate. So what do you do for good mental health?
Not enough. But yeah, I take an antidepressant and, I haven't been doing much lately because I'm a little stressed and
you got to work out.
I'm having a hard time like negotiating my weird schedule, but under less stressful that, yeah, you should work out every day as much as possible and hard work out hard. Meditating is great. And also like, I think it's important to have a hobby. Like I don't consider tennis working out. I consider it a skill.
Oh, great. That's what I've been doing. At. Thank you.
You know, like I always want to get better at something. Right, so right. I play tennis. I play the guitar.
I play piano. We can do music.
If I start practicing again. So okay. Yeah, absolutely. Very important.
Okay. Final question. It's called Kill Me Now because I get annoyed at everything. What pisses you off more than anything in the entire that makes you fucking so mad? It could be anything.
I mean, it's like a tie between
fuck face
millions of things. No, it's just really hard to narrow down right now. No, I think, well, two things. If I can bend the rules a bit.
Yeah.
One is what we were talking about earlier. Anytime he gets a win in a court or it makes me insane.
Right.
More to the point, I think when I see people willing to risk their lives, their children's lives, their parents' lives, their friends' lives, total strangers' lives by going to indoor.
Oh my God.
Events,
what the fuck is that?
Can't handle it.
They keep saying the blue, you know, it's all the blue states. They're all going to get it. They're all going to fucking get it.
Yeah. Look at the rates in North Dakota and tell me that it's the blue states that are the problem. So,
Mary Leah, I have to say, this was my dream interview. I have always admired you. I think you're fucking great. Keep doing what you're doing. We have to play tennis.
We will.
But I can't thank you enough. You're just so amazing. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Your book is fucking perfect.
Well, okay. Thank you for that. But I've been looking forward to this ever since we talked about doing it. I had so much fun. And now, unfortunately, I have to go to work.
All right. I'm sorry.
Anyway, thank you.
But you're great at it. Thank you. Mwah! I'll see you soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to part two of Kill Me Now with the one and only Mary Trump. If you like the show, I mean, how can you not? Please make sure to subscribe and leave a review. It helps more people find this amazing podcast. 5 stars only for the review, please. Thank you. Also, if you have not purchased my book, yes, I can say that when they come for the comedians, we're all in trouble. There's something wrong with you. It's such a great book. And the audiobook was featured in New and Noteworthy in the New York Times Book Review. I know I say that every week, but it was featured in the New York Times Book Review. Okay? And I'm a little, verklempt about it. Let's read an Amazon review. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is from Armando. Oh, the title of the review, Best Book of 2020. I love how funny, informative, and smart this book is. It's a must read for those who need a good laugh to be inspired and walk away with a side of wisdom. 10 out of 10 all the way. Thank you, Armando. I don't know you, but ooh, I love you. So there you go. It would mean so much to me if you would check it out. All order links are on the homepage of my website, judygold.com, which is brand new, or wherever books are sold. Not that anyone's going outside. Also, please make sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram for all upcoming virtual and live events and dates at Judy Gold, at JEWDYGOLD. You know, like Jew Gold, because I'm a Jew. And just remember, 2 more weeks. Please vote. Please vote. Please vote. And if you're voting for you know who, don't vote. Don't vote. Don't vote. And stay safe. Wear a mask. And as we always say, so long.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.